Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we're reading from the 10th canto, chapter 39, text 28, and we'll go up to 32. And today we'll chant text 28. Nivarayama samupecha madhavam.
Nivarayama samupecha madhavam.
Nivarayama samupecha madhavam. Kim no karishyan kula vridda bandhava.
Kim no karishyan kula vridda
bandhava. Mukunda sangha nimishardha dushtajad. Mukunda Sangani Mishada Dushyajad.
Mukunda Sangani Mishada
Dushyajad. Daivena Vivam Sita Dina Chetasam.
Daivena
Vivam Sita Dina Chetasam. Nivarayama samupecha madhavam.
Kim
no karishyan kura vridha bandhava. Makunda sangani mishardha dushyajad. Daivena vivam sita dina chetasam. Please chant. Anyone?
Yeah. Himno Purisham Kuru Vidra Vandavam
Kunda Sangha Nimisharda Dushyajan
Kunda Sangha Nimisharda Dushyajan
Narvena Vivam Sitati Nachetasam
Narvena Vivam Sitati Nachetasam.
Any students on the chat?
Kunya Sangha Nimishara Krishna Narayana Vivam Sita Dina Chetasam Himno Karishan Kula Vedra Bandhava
Mukunda Sangha Nimishara Dushyaja
Mukunda Sangha Nimishara Dushyaja
Hare
Nivam Sita Dina Chetasam
Niva Rayama.
Let us stop.
Samupecha.
Going up to him.
Madhavam.
Krishna.
Kim.
What?
Na.
To us.
Akarishyan.
Will do.
Kula.
Of the family.
Vrida.
The elders,
Bandava,
and our relatives,
Mukunda Sangat,
from the association of Lord Mukunda,
Nimisha,
of the wink of an eye,
Arda,
for one half,
Dusjajat,
which is impossible to give up.
Daivena,
by fate.
Vidvamsita,
separated.
Dina,
wretched.
Chetasam,
whose hearts?
Translation and purport by followers and disciples of Srila Prabhupada.
Let us directly approach Madhava and stop him from going. What can our family elders and other relatives do to us? Now that fate is separating us from Mukunda, our hearts are already wretched, for we cannot bear to give up his association even for a fraction of a second. Please repeat. Let us directly approach Madhava
and stop him from going.
What can our family elders and other relatives do to us?
Now that fate is separating us
from Mukunda,
our hearts are already wretched,
for we cannot bear to give up his association
for even a fraction of a second.
Purport.
Srila Vishnava Chakravarti describes what the gopis thought. Quote, let us go right up to Krishna and pull at his clothes and hands and insist that he get down from his chariot and stay here with us. We will tell him, don't bring upon yourself the sinful reaction for murdering so many women. But if we do that, the other gopis said, our relatives and the village elders will discover our secret love for Krishna and abandon us. But what can they do to us? Yes, our lives are already wretched now and that Krishna is leaving us. We have nothing to lose.
That's right. We will remain in Vrindavan forest just like the presiding goddesses, and then we can fulfill our true desire to stay with Krishna in the forest. Yes, and even if the elders and our relatives punish us by beating us or locking us up, we can still live happily with the knowledge that Krishna is residing in our village. Some of our girlfriends who are not imprisoned will cleverly find a way to bring us the remnants of Krishna's food, and then we can remain alive. But if Krishna is not stopped, we will certainly die. So we'll go on reading the additional verses and purports. Text 29. When he brought us to the assembly of the Rasa dance, where we enjoyed his affection and charming smiles, his delightful secret talks, his playful glances and his embraces, we passed many nights as if they were a single moment. O gopis, how can we possibly cross over the insurmountable darkness of his absence? Purport. For the gopis, a long time in Krishna's association passed like a moment, and a single moment in his absence seemed like a very long time. Text 30. How can we exist without Ananta's friend, Krishna, who in the evening would return to Vraja in the company of the cowherd boys, his hair and garland powdered with the dust raised by cow's hooves? As he played his flute, he would captivate our minds and his smiling sidelong glances. Text 31. Shukadev Goswami said, after speaking these words, the ladies of Vraja, who were so attached to Krishna, felt extremely agitated by their imminent separation from him. They forgot all shame and loudly cried out, O Govinda, O Damodar, O Madhava. Purport. For a long time, the gopis had carefully hidden their conjugal love for Krishna. But now that Krishna was leaving, the gopis were so distressed that they could no longer hide their feelings. In text 32, but even as the gopis cried out in this way, Akrura, having at sunrise performed his morning worship and other duties, began to drive the chariot. Purport. According to some Vaishnav authorities, Akrura offended the gopis by not consoling them when he took Krishna to Mathura. And because of this offense, Akrura was later forced to leave Dwarka and be separated from Krishna during the episode of the Shyamataka jewel. At that time, Akrura had to take up an ignoble residence in Varanasi. Apparently, Mother Yashoda and the other residents of Vrindavan were not crying like the gopis, for they sincerely believed Krishna would be coming back within a few days. Om Ajnana Timbaranyasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Taitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandayam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamala Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsta Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parujana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Itam Shcha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Dapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Harishye Vanchakopa Kubyasha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Shyadvaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
This section of the Srimad Bhagavatam is very special and deep. And I'm wondering if any of the children in the school know what is happening right here. Any of the older girls might know? What's going on here? What are we reading about? Yes?
Krishna going to Mathura.
He's going to Mathura. But what's happening right at this moment? Just before he goes to Mathura.
They're trying to stop Krishna from going.
Yes, they're trying to stop Krishna. Because they love Krishna so deeply, they can't imagine that he could ever leave them. And they can't begin to understand how they could live if he leaves. I was thinking, like, how will the children understand this feeling? And I thought, well, maybe if they thought, if their mother was leaving them today and was not going to come back again, how would you feel? It would be very difficult. You'd feel very sad and very, you'd try to stop her. You wouldn't want her to go. Because this is a person you love very close and very deeply. You can't imagine living without her. So Krishna is so dear, he's even more dear than that to the gopis and all the residents of Vrindavan. And they don't want Krishna to leave, but it's because they can't begin to understand how they will live without him. They have given themselves completely in every way to Lord Krishna. He is everything to them. They define their existence according to how they can be with him, how they can serve him. They have no separate identity. So Vishnubhat Chakravarti Thakur, he has given different commentaries, and we heard here some of that narration of what he has commented on in these verses. And it is very deep and is very special. These are the feelings of the gopis. Because some weeks ago or months ago we read and heard about the rasa dance. Does everyone know what the rasa dance was? What happens in the rasa dance? Anyone? You know? Can you say? All right, Gauranga. Yes. And Krishna at one point disappears. And they become very, very unhappy. They're looking everywhere for Krishna. And finally, after some time, he appears again. There he is. And they are very happy. And again, they begin their rasa dance and they become very happy and excited then. So, this time, he's going to disappear and he's not going to come back for a long time. And somehow the gopis knew this. So they're starting to remember all the different activities they perform with Krishna. All the intimate exchanges, all the sweet loving pastimes, all the millions of moments that they spent with him that were so blissful, so enlivening, so intimate, where Krishna was sharing his affection with them and they were giving their affection back to Krishna. So in that setting, when they're enjoying with Krishna the rasa dance, it went on for one night of Lord Brahma, but for them it passed in just a moment. But now Krishna is going to go. Now one moment seems like an eternity. It's very long. I know sometimes young boys and girls, like if they're going to go on a vacation or go to some exciting spot, it just seems like they're preparing the day before, the night before, and it just, they have to wait so long before they have to get there. And it just seems like forever, isn't it? Did you ever take a trip like that and you had to go? And it just seemed like, when are we going to get there? It wasn't soon enough. So it just took forever to get there. And when you're there, suddenly, next thing you know, it's time to leave. You hardly remember being there. It went so fast. But that's all on the mundane level. That's just our ordinary day. But that is how we compare Krishna. Because we don't have direct experience of these spiritual exchanges with Krishna, which are so deep and millions of times more exciting and more enjoyable. Because Krishna is fully reciprocating on every level with his devotees. So it's very deep and very pleasing. So here the gopis are becoming full of anxiety that Krishna is going to leave. They're ready to give up every restriction that would hold them back. There was one picture I had. I purchased when I went to India the first time after we visited Vrindavan, and somehow I was in Delhi going through the different shops. And there was one small store run by some Christian nuns, I think, in Delhi. And there on the wall, there was this picture of Krishna getting on his chariot and the gopis grabbing the chariot, grabbing the horses, falling down, trying to stop Krishna from leaving. So I bought that picture and I kept it always on my wall so many years. It's a very deep and profound pastime. We can begin to project what the feelings might have been, but we cannot begin to experience it because we are still, unfortunately, on the mundane platform. But still, we can try to get some glimpse so that we can go further, we can come closer to Krishna, because Krishna is so attractive. Krishna is so perfect and so sweet, and we know he has like 64 qualities that we discuss listed in the Nectar of Devotion. So does anyone can name one of his qualities? Any of the girls here? Or the Jai Shirade? Any of them can remember one of the qualities of Krishna? They don't know any qualities of Krishna? Well, not just one, not all 64. So one of the most special qualities is Krishna has these wonderful pastimes, very intimate pastimes. And he also has a musical instrument he plays. What instrument is that? Does anyone know? Yes, right in the front. The flute, yes. And when he plays the flute, everyone is attracted. The moving living entities, the humans, the animals, they all stop moving when they hear the flute. And those things like the rocks, trees, they all become animate. They all start moving when they hear the flute. Such is the power of that flute. I don't think any of us have heard such a flute. So powerful, so completely transcendental and absorbing. So the gopis certainly have heard the flute of Krishna many times, and they are very much attracted. that how they will able to be, hear that flute again. They're thinking, even if our parents and other elders get upset with us for grabbing at Krishna and trying to stop him, and they lock us up, still we'll be able to hear that sound of Krishna's flute somehow or other, and that will pacify us. Or still, somehow or other, one of our friends will be out and they'll bring us some of the remnants of Krishna's food. Right now we take prasadam every day. We don't consider very deeply, oh, we're just eating sometimes. At least I know I do. But this prasadam of Krishna is so special. It is so wonderful that having once tasted it, one completely becomes transformed. And we know that when, at least myself, when I first was coming to Krishna consciousness, devotees fed me prasadam practically every day. And perhaps that was the reason it was able within a few months to become, to join the temple and become a devotee. Even though I remained working full-time job outside, still I moved in the temple in a very short period of time. Nowadays when I'm meeting so many people who are attracted to the movement, they hear this and they're like shocked. How can you change so quickly? But that was the power of Krishna's Mahaprasadam and association with Prabhupada. Devotees who were directly in touch with Prabhupada was so powerful. Things could happen very quickly. Changes could happen. So I also wanted to touch on another topic, related topic, and that is here the gopis are obviously undergoing some anxiety and stress. But when they're under this anxiety and stress, they're only thinking about Krishna. They only want to run to Krishna. They only want to be with Krishna and go and grab at his chariot and stop him. But in the human society, people react to stress and anxiety differently. And generally, they take shelter of something else, some escape. Sometimes they'll go back and they'll just eat more and more food so they'll forget about their troubles. Or sometimes they'll go home and they'll turn on the TV or a movie so they become absorbed in something different than that which is giving them anxiety. And there's so many others. People become more radical. They take drugs to forget. Either they get depressed or they get excited by the drug and they think, this way I will escape the cause of my anxiety. But as one advances in Krishna consciousness, we find generally the reactions change. That one gradually stops focusing on his own anxiety. And he tries to approach Krishna to learn how to connect with him and gradually transcend the mundane experiences, the day-to-day things that are giving him stress and anxiety, either by kirtan or by japa or by other types of devotional service, trying to connect more deeply with Krishna and thus become relieved of their distress and anxiety. Or one may become even more focused and try to see how others are suffering and preach to them and help them become Krishna conscious. And in this way, they identify less and less with their own difficulties and they try to express and help others to get out of their difficulties. And in this way, they become free from the anxiety. And as one advances more and more, he no longer identifies with the body and the mind. So what is going on with the body and the mind is like some background music. It's going on, but their attention is elsewhere. It's on serving Krishna. And finally, at the higher stage, highest age, as the gopis, they have so fully identified themselves as belonging to Krishna and as Krishna belonging to them, that the only thing that is important to them is pleasing Krishna and being with Krishna. Anything else is superfluous. It is inconsequential. It means nothing to them. They practically don't even pay attention. And this way, they identify themselves, as we see the gopis here, only with Krishna, and only with Krishna's pleasure, and nothing else. And they've become so fully absorbed, so deeply focused on their relationship with Krishna, that that is their whole center and domain of their experiences. Nothing else matters. Like there's one section where Gopa Kumar finally reaches Vrindavan and he sees some cowherd women picking flowers for Krishna. And he tries to approach them and ask them, well, he wasn't sure exactly where he is or what's going on, so he tries to ask them some questions. And they act like he's not even there. They don't acknowledge his speaking, they don't acknowledge any of his questions. They don't respond to him. And gradually, as he starts to focus more and more on Krishna, then someone comes forward and starts to tell him, well, Krishna's very soon coming back from the forest, and he sees everybody just, the whole town of Vrindavan just starts running to meet him. Whatever they were doing, they just immediately dropped it and they ran. Maybe the children feel like that when they're coming to the temple in the morning. They forget everything else and just run to the temple, right? You forget your lunch pack, you forget your books, you forget everything, and you just run to the temple, right? So eager to be with Krishna. Is that true? Is that how you feel? Sometimes, though, instead of feeling that we're being with Krishna, like this morning, I was noticing it happens often. The children are there in the kirtan, or even the adults. The kirtan is going on, but their lips are not moving because something else is going on in their mind. They're thinking of something else far away, not even in the temple with Krishna. So they can be, we can be right with Krishna, and we're far away. But here, the gopis may be far away, but they're only with Krishna. Whatever else is going on, they're only with Krishna. So we have some long ways to go so that we can always feel this connection with Krishna. At least when we're in the kirtan, we can try to participate in the kirtan. When we're in the temple, we can focus on the deities, because this is Krishna. Krishna is here. Is he agreeing, or is he telling me it's time to stop? Interesting. The frogs are simply chanting Hare Krishna, I hope. So this is what we want. We want this feeling of deep connection with Krishna. Because this is more satisfying than anything else that we could be thinking about. Anything else that's going on. We have so many things that are going on, and certainly the gopis had so many things happening in their lives. But we don't hear them thinking, well, you know, as soon as Krishna leaves, then I'm going to go home and have breakfast. I got some place to go this afternoon. You know, I have to go take care of the cows. No, they're just like, I'm going to die if Krishna leaves. That's all they can think about. Interesting. So we can see this is given to us as a goal, where we're meant to be, where we're meant to, what we're meant to experience, so the level of consciousness we want to be. And it is definitely possible. Lord Chaitanya came to encourage us to try for it, to do this, to focus in this way our attention, our devotion on Krishna. And Krishna even gives us a guidance in Bhagavad Gita. Is whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you give away in charity, whatever austerities, just do them for me. Do as an offering of love unto me. So he's covering the whole range of our daily activities. All day we're active. We're doing something. We're studying in the school. I know the students are already thinking, when I go to school, I'm studying to please Krishna, right? Is that what you're thinking? Well, there it is, confirmed. And when we're outside, if we're working some job, some office, or we're doing something else, just thinking, Krishna has given me. Prabhupada describes in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, whatever duty you're doing, you should think, Krishna has personally assigned me this duty. He has given it to me. This is what he wants me to do right now. Huh? And we do it in that spirit. Not seeing, oh, my parents have sent me to school, or this teacher wants me to do this assignment, or this boss has this work for me to do, or this customer now is giving me so much trouble. But no, Krishna has arranged. This is what you're what's supposed to be happening to you right now. So Krishna is saying, okay, time to study mathematics. Hari Bol. Right? Then it becomes exciting. And Krishna standing up there and say, okay, now we're going to do mathematics. Everybody will be very excited. But that actually is what Krishna is telling us. He's arranged it. That's what he wants us to do. So gradually, and then all the food, Krishna says, food, you eat whatever your food first, eat it, offer it to me, and then you take it. So eating is something we do every day. Anybody here doesn't eat every day? You eat every day? You eat every day. We all eat every day, right? At least two or three times. But Krishna said, dovetail that by offering your food first to me. You're giving it to me in love. So that act of eating, which we have to do to live, now becomes connected with Krishna. And we see the gopis, they're thinking, all right, I may be locked up because if they don't approve what I'm doing, but at least I'll get something to eat that was touched by Krishna. There was a whole magazine I got when I was in India, written by the devotees who put out Krishna Kathamrita. It was all about the prasadam, how to honor prasadam, and what is the meaning of prasadam, and how to take prasadam, and how in Jagannath Puri, taking prasadam is not an ordinary activity. It is completely spiritual. And people respect it very deeply. They make great endeavor to get this prasadam of Lord Jagannath so that they can experience that wonderful flavor of being a food touched by Krishna. Completely transcendental. Lord Chaitanya himself spoke about this transcendental quality of Lord Jagannath's prasadam. It's written in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And how it is that food is not comparable with anything you've ever eaten. It is even better than pizza. Pizza? And so many other wonderful foods that we may love. Ice cream, so many things. Our favorite foods, but Krishna's food is even better than all that. More tasty, more relishable. And he would describe these tastes that are in the prasadam, and we hear it all the time from guests. He said, I cook the same thing, I got the recipe, but when I come here, it tastes so much better. Why? Because it's Krishna's prasadam. Yes? Yes, the bhakti. The love and devotion which is prepared and offered to Krishna. That's the part they are missing, and it makes it completely different. Completely different. See, the children sometimes, they experience the prasadam from very birth, so maybe they take it a little natural and ordinary. It wouldn't be surprising. But it is a completely different experience. Completely transcendental experience.
And we hope that we never see it in a different way, so that what is spiritual somehow becomes mundane and ordinary. Because this is coming from Krishna and is very wonderful and special. So here in the last text, the Vaishnava authorities are referring to Akrura, and he did something apparently wrong. He didn't go and beg permission from Mother Yashoda and the other residents of Vrindavan to take Krishna away. So in that sense, he did something wrong. He committed an offense, and they were not happy. Indication is here that later, because he did that, he had to leave Dwarka. He had to leave the association of Krishna. So some reference, some indication that our offenses to devotees can make us, bring us away from the devotion, away from the association of devotees. So it is, I'm sure Akura wasn't thinking to commit offense, but somehow something happened. And it caused him some difficulty later on. He had to be involved with the Shyamataka jewel after Satyabhama's father, Satyajit, was killed. He was involved in that whole intrigue. Krishna's wife, her father was killed just to take this jewel away, and then somehow Akrura ended up with it. And he ran away to Varanasi to get away because he knew Krishna would be upset and Krishna might even come and kill him like others had been killed. So he ran away. But it was very interesting to read that in these pastime commentary in chapter 57, there are some texts where it said, describes the whole activity. And Krishna, being omniscient, he knew that Akrura had the jewel. But he made a show of searching for it. So he eventually realized, it was pointed that Akrura had the jewel, because when he left Dwarka Mathura, then there suddenly was so many difficulties coming to the city. So Krishna actually arranged those difficulties to come, so that everyone would say, oh, it must be Akrura. Krishna wouldn't be implicated any further. And Akrura gradually, he was forced to live in Banaras, Kashi, among Krishna's enemies. So there he had to suffer the separation from Krishna. He was living there and hoping that his reputation would not be ruined. And he was afraid that Krishna would come and he would be punished. But somehow or other, when Krishna came, he knew everything. And Krishna just was smiling at him, and he said, you have no enmity with Satyajit, nor did you steal the jewel. And moreover, you're not greedy to have a lot of wealth, a lot of jewels. And you are my exalted devotee, and as super soul, I reside within you. So why are you afraid of me? So in this way, he was actually very encouraging to Akrura, that no, I'm not going to punish you. Please come back and give the jewel back. So this is Krishna. He's kind, he's merciful. Even we make a mistake, Krishna wants us to come back. Krishna is welcoming us back, encouraging us to again take up our role as his servants. So this is very important for us to know as well. So obviously there's so many more very deep discussions can go on about this section. And certainly I have no qualification to discuss them. But at this point, I'll stop and see if anyone has any questions or comments on this. Yes, Jashirani.
Like when we hear about the gopis' pastimes with Krishna, where he's still in Vrindavan, so when they're separated from him, they feel this loss, but they know he's going to be back. But there's this, you know, it's a sweetness. So when you think about, like for me, if my husband goes on a trip, and I know he's coming back, so I can hold out. You have hope. You know, oh, he's just going to be gone a little while. Or maybe someone has someone who's a loved one who's at war, and it might be a long time, but they have hope. Or maybe something's happened, but you don't know, so you have hope they'll return to you one day. So I'm just wondering, like, once Krishna's leaving at this point, do the gopis have hope at all that he will someday return? Or is it just that their lives are over because he will never return to them?
Well, actually, this is described by, especially by Vishnubhad Chakravarti Thakur in the purport to text 32. And the gopis are not hopeful. They have already reasoned that Krishna will find so many activities. He's the son of a king, so he'll have so many royal duties in Mathura. And the women in Mathura are much more beautiful than we, so he will be more attracted to be with them. And they give so many additional reasons why Krishna won't come back. Whereas Mother Jashoda and the other residents he presents, they're confident that Krishna will come back because Nanda Maharaj and some of the cowherd boys are going with them and they're promising to bring him back. So they're not so upset because they're confident that this will come back, but the gopis are not confident. They have no such feeling of security. Yes?
It was explained one place by Gaur Govinda Maharaj's embankment of separation and pran korma yoga, something like that, speaking of the frogs, and korma is the frog, and he's there's a special word for it, like with bears it's called hibernation, but with frogs there's another word for it which means hibernate. You know what that word is?
Where they stay asleep all winter.
He says when the water in the lakes dry up, they bury themselves in the mud.
Yes.
And in that mud, they go into an altered state where they're like hibernating. They're
suspended.
Not dead, but they're not alive.
So like suspended animation.
Yeah, but there's special words for it, like hibernates for bears, but for frogs, there's another word. I forgot that one.
So these gopis are like frogs or what?
They exhibited the similar aspects in their life that they weren't like alive when they but the hope, the mud was the hope that you were saying that Krishna would return, but they were in a semi-conscious state. They were like almost dead, but they're not dead, but they weren't alive. They were in this special state which was called the korma pran.
When someone's passed away, you have this sense of intense grief because you don't have that relationship with them anymore.
That's true, yeah.
Versus someone who's just away for a very long time. But you know that there's a chance that someday, it might be a slim chance, but you hold on. Versus when someone passes away. So that's, I'm just wondering, there's a difference in consciousness.
Yes.
For the gopi. So I'm just wondering which one it is.
Yeah, for example, Radharani's consciousness was such that even she was sitting with Krishna, she was anticipating him leaving, being separated from him. So they have this mood of Vipralamba, which actually brings out a very deep love. And Krishna actually later writes the gopis and delivers this message through Uddhava that, you know, I left you just to increase the intensity of your love by this separation. So this was Krishna's plan, but the gopis, it was very difficult, and they didn't actually expect him to come back. And very interesting.
He did say he was going to come back.
He said
and
that.
That one little hope that he did say it kept him alive, otherwise he would have died.
But how many times he didn't come? Many times.
But then you still have hope, though. that's
yeah,
the
yeah, that's it.
That
there was a hope because it saved.
Yeah, there was some little glimmer. And actually, you reminded me of this story that was related. Some devotee told Prabhupada that one time they were mining coal. Coal is like a rock, right? And when they're breaking open the coal in the mine, they broke up in this one spot, and there was a frog inside the coal, and he hopped out. He was in this suspended animation for so long inside the coal that when they broke it, he hopped out. And unfortunately, I think he died shortly after that. But you can think millions of years he was locked up in that coal in suspended animation. Yeah.
Is there any connection between this and Rath Yatra?
There is, but I think it's not the right time to go into it. It'll be a long discussion, more than I can describe. So we can end here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. Adios.